Anyways, I'm going to call the committee to order. We have a quorum here. So, President Burns, I'm sure you've read the minutes from yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yesterday, and have gone through them meticulously and found and approved them?
Yes,
Mr. Approve of them.
I'd like to move approve of them.
The motion has been made to approve the minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Hearing none, they pass. Did you see, everyone, how smart some legislators are about filing suggestions about treats in committee?
What are you
going to
vote for?
Pardon?
What am I going to vote for?
We'll find that out a little later.
You get one of each if it's for a vote.
Well, I already had two of each. Today we have Representative Liebling's bill in front of us, and I'm sure Representative Norton would like to move that.
I would most definitely like to move House File 1462.
Well, good. And that's to be recommended to pass. Do we refer to the Committee on Taxes? I think there's an office amendment in there, isn't there?
Yes, there is, Mr. Chair. There is.
Maybe we can get the bill in the order that you'd like to work with it.
Please, if Representative Norton would move that for me, that's the A1 amendment.
Yes, I'll move the A1 office amendment.
You want to explain your amendment?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. The amendment just clarifies the language of the bill a little bit. It's not a substantive change. It just makes sure that the tax exemption that the bill is requesting would be able to be used for the project.
Well, that sounds good to me. Seems how the author wants it that way. Before you explain it, all in favor of the A1 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Looks like it's in the order that you would like it, Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning, committee members. This bill that's before you is for a sales tax exemption for materials and supplies that are used or consumed in the construction of a biobusiness center in Rochester. It's really a very simple bill. It's a bipartisan bill. Really, the issue for the tax exemption, I think, will be more in taxes. But what we'd like to do today is just give you a little more understanding and background of the project itself. This is a project that the main project was funded in the last biennium with $8 million in state bonding. The intent of this project is to leverage investments that the state has made in medical and high-tech businesses and research institutions in Rochester. And I'm sure this committee's heard quite a bit about the bioscience investments that are being made. The hope is to help facilitate the entrance of research discoveries into the marketplace, and that's the purpose of the project. The $8 million in state bonding was for that, and that's the project that this tax exemption is for. This new biobusiness center would provide space for medical and biotech companies to locate high-paying jobs in Minnesota. Because of unaccounted for escalations in cost to the project, Rochester finds itself in a position of needing a little bit more help from the state in the form of this sales tax exemption that we're asking for in this bill. To explain in more detail the history of the project and its impact on the emerging bioscience industry in Minnesota, I have with me the mayor of Rochester, Ardell Brady. I also have here to talk to you a bit later, Assistant City Administrator Gary Newman and Gary Smith from the Rochester Area Economic Development, Inc. So I will turn it over now, with your permission, Mr. Chair, to Mayor Ardell Brady.
Well, thank you, Representative Levin. Mayor, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Chairman Mahoney and members of the Bioscience and Emerging Technology Committee, I am Ardell Brady, and I have the honor of being the mayor of the city of Rochester, Minnesota. thank you for this opportunity. I'm here today to talk about the Bioscience Development Center project in Rochester. In this project, the city and the state of Minnesota are partnering to create bioscience and medical technology jobs for Minnesota. We are intending to improve our Minnesota economy by building a bridge between the new academic and scientific developments in bioscience and businesses. I've provided you with a handout. I hope you all have that. There's a description of the project that we are commencing and constructing in 2007 and renderings of the project. The city has secured the site for the project and is in the early stages of project design. Our site is immediately adjacent to the Minnesota Partnership for Biotechnology and Medical Genomics. In briefest form, the state has provided the city with an $8 million appropriation for the infrastructure component of the project and the city economic development. Development Authority will be funding and constructing the building component, a 9-story building, at a cost of approximately $25 million. The city is in the process of securing an ideal tenant for 7 stories of the building, that is Mayo Medical Ventures, the technology transfer arm of Mayo Clinic, which plans to expand their operations in Rochester. There will be 2 vacant floors that the city will aggressively market to new bioscience and medical technology companies for Minnesota. The building will be constructed such that additional floors can be added in the future to attract more companies. We have had a number of cost increases for the project due to both higher construction cost estimates and higher acquisition costs. We have increased the city's contribution with city parking enterprise funds and tax increment financing funds. We believe it is reasonable to request that this partnership project between the state and city be exempted from sales tax on construction materials to enhance our chance for success. Dependent on final bids, we are ready to proceed and break ground this year, 2007. A couple final comments about marketing and partnerships. I and representatives from the Rochester Area Economic Development Inc., READY, we call it, will again be attending the Bio 2007 conference in Boston in May this year in partnership with DEED and other Minnesota communities. This will be the 4th year we have all worked cooperatively together to develop bio business jobs for Minnesota. We appreciate the partnership that has developed between the legislature, this committee, the governor, DEED, and other Minnesota communities for bioscience job development. I believe we are taking some good initial steps that this committee is taking to look at additional efforts in the areas of scientific development, marketing, and project funding. We will truly work hard and do our best to make this specific project a success and one that the committee can be proud of. Chairman Mahoney and members of the committee, thank you again for allowing me to speak with you today. I have with me Gary Smith of Rochester Area Economic Development and Gary Newman, Assistant City Administrator, and we would be happy to respond and answer any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Would you care to take questions now, or would you have, was there another presenter at all, or just for questions?
Just questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Beard?
Mr. Chairman, before I vote on anything, I'd like to know who brought those cookies and if they're going to be handed out before or after the vote.
Representative Beard, actually, it was a freshman that brought the cookies, and, most politicians have it figured out that if you just go grab it, possession is 90% of the law, and we're not normally invited. We just take, and that's on tape. I have a question. When was the original estimate done on this particular project? Because I'm looking at your sheet here, and the proposed project was an estimated 28 $1.5 million for the two components, and then the revisions to the projected budget get it up to 38.4, and I'm just doing some rough numbers, pen and paper, you know, the old style way, and that's at least a 20% cost increase. Is that over, you know, so I guess the question is, when was the original estimate done? And what happened? I mean, you obviously talked about steel and concrete, but that seems a bit, 20%, that's a lot.
Chairman Mahoney, members of the committee, some of that is the building is increased in size, and those costs will be covered by building leases. The main increase, there's been some increase due to construction materials. There's been, we've had a fairly significant increase in our acquisition costs. But we've done a number of estimates. We did an estimate in 2005 for the bonding submittal, and we're in the schematic design process, so we're doing additional estimates. We've done about three different estimates for the project, but part of that increase is due to just the size of the building itself has gone up, but the parking component is the one that's gone up the most, and that's mainly due to acquisition.
So what you're saying is you and Carl got something in common.
I think that's fairly common in projects, yes. Sure.
And just one more question, Representative Beard has a question. Just so I'm clear, how many, you're going from 75 to 100,000 square feet to 127,000, so you're increasing it by about 20-25% somewhere in that neck of the woods in square footage?
Yeah, Chairman Mahoney, that is correct.
And you expect to be able to fill that whole building relatively quickly? I was going to say easy, but it's never easy.
Chairman Mahoney, we don't have any signed leases yet, but we have very good conversations with one company to take seven floors. The other two floors may very well take us a couple of years to fill. I think as you're well aware, creating jobs and bringing in new companies is a lot harder, I think, than a lot of people realize. And we're prepared to hold the space for a couple of years to try and get in the right companies. And, there'll be some significant carrying costs to do that. You know, between $250,000 and $500,000 we'll probably incur in that time if we can't get them leased. As the mayor mentioned, he will again be going with the DEED folks to the Bio 2000 conference in Boston, and now that we have a specific rendering of the building and have the plans for the building and it's going forward, they will have something to market there. So our goal is to try and fill the building immediately, but we don't have that done at this point, but it is something they're going to be aggressively marketing as along with DEED, and DEED markets other locations in Minnesota as well. So we fully anticipate it may be a while before we fill the building.
Well, I hope you save some space for all those Mayo doctors that are going to become wealthy with all their new inventions. Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, the representative leaving.
I'm sorry. I didn't. You know, if I could,
yeah.
Apparently Representative Bunn was on the list first, so
that's
sorry.
Fine. I'll
okay. I have a question to the chair, first of all. What committees will this legislation go through, given it involves sales tax exemption?
Here in taxes should be the only place it goes.
Okay. Okay. And I'm sorry for walking a little late. So, chair and two members, this is a structure that's being built by the city. Who's the owner of the structure?
Representative, the owner will be the Rochester Economic Development Authority, which is actually our city council is the Economic Development Authority.
Okay.
Under Economic Development Authority powers.
Okay. We have respect the work of this types of efforts in the state. That's what this committee is all about. I just went earlier, a week or so ago, Representative Beard raised the question of, like, how does our economy work, and what's a kind of an explanation from an economic perspective or market perspective of some of these things. And on this one, I do have just one perspective to share on it. And it is that I asked early in this session, I saw a lot of bills related to this type of issue, exempting sales tax. In my own district, was bringing forward some things that they wanted to have exempted from sales tax as well. And so I asked of some of my public finance friends and others the perspective on this. in general, the economic economist view on this is that if a public entity needs more space for something, or if they need a facility, that they can get it in a variety of ways, but the two main ones is they can build it themselves and create the space, or they can lease space from the private market, you know, in another building. And what happens if you exempt the public entity from the sales and other taxes, but you don't exempt the private market, then you've made an uneven playing field, and you and so you're not competing on the same level playing field. And so in terms of efficient allocation of resources, you don't know quite what's going on there in terms of making that decision choice. Having said that, there are a lot of, we have done this in the past in many areas in government, and I think that there is a legitimate role for doing that. The past ones that mentioned in some of our briefings is that things like the Walker Center, Science Museum, other kinds of facilities. One thing that strikes me about looking at the list of things that we have traditionally used this for is that they are unique structures that have a particular public service function that probably aren't suitable for any other use. You know, and court buildings might fit that and other kinds of things too. So I just throw that out there. I don't have a particular opinion about, I mean, we are trying to encourage these kinds of proposals in this committee in terms of advancing biosciences, but I just threw that out there for, I think, more appropriately for the tax committee to make those considerations. Yes, because we're voting on the kind of policy point of trying to support these kinds of efforts, but just do that discussion.
Do you wish to respond to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members and Representative Bunn. I sit on the tax committee as well, and I think that the real consensus of the tax committee is that this whole structure that we have in the state of Minnesota where we actually make local governments pay sales tax is really kind of a convoluted and not necessarily the best way to do things. It's in there for various reasons. It's very expensive to get rid of that altogether, which is probably why it's not going to happen this year. But the tax committee, I assure you, wrestles with these issues all the time. But, you know, what's really happening when we make local governments pay sales tax at all is it's just a shift to property taxes because, you know, it's the taxpayers are paying all of it. But this issue about who should get it, where should we make the exemptions, I assure you the tax committee is going to wrestle with that and will be considering all these questions.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My comments are along the same vein, so I'm really glad Representative Bunn brought this up. Although I hadn't thought about the perspective of economics forcing a more efficient allocation, but that would be a PhD in economics talking, for which I'm grateful. Representative Bunn, we're going to have to do lunch sometime. I think it would be a fascinating discussion. I'd love to pick your mind. But first, just a comment to Representative Liebling. Thank you for bringing the bill forward. My tongue-in-cheek comments about cookies were in no way meant to disparage the importance of the bill, especially after the Honorable Mayor had just spoken. I think in the few years I've been here, I think I've signed on to every bill there has been to do away with the sales tax on local units of government. I was on the Shakopee City Council back in the 90s when we had, I think, about a $2 billion budget shortfall, and one of the temporary fixes, we were assured it was temporary at the time, was to extend sales tax to local units of government, which I, as a Republican, for one thing, I have a problem with growing government when we could have just tightened our belts a little more, but I wasn't there then. They did what they did. But the idea of taxing tax money that we collect from other taxpayers is, in effect, a shift to the property tax, as you just mentioned, Representative Liebling. And so I will fondly vote in favor of this bill, whether those are your cookies or not, just because philosophically I'm opposed to the whole concept of one governmental unit extracting money from another subset of taxpayers by taxing their tax money is what it amounts to. I'm having a problem with that. Having said all that, I do have just one question for you, Mr. Chair and Representative Liebling. I think you have a local option sales tax in Rochester. Would you propose that this be exempted from just the 6.5% state sales tax, or would this apply to all of it? And be care to expound on that just a moment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I think I'll ask Mr. Newman to respond to that one.
Newman.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, we would propose it would be also exempted from the city sales tax.
Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Liebling for bringing the bill forward. I was right along the lines, I think, with Representative Bunn on some of her questioning, so I won't go into too much detail there other than I too struggle with exempting one city over and over of another city, so I have some concerns with that. I think that, you know, this just leads me to the conclusion that we have a problem with sales tax, and we have a lot of these bills coming forward that, you know, exemptions for this, exemptions for that, which leads me to believe that our sales taxes are too high and that it'd be, perhaps we should look at finding ways to exempt everybody so it'd be on a more equal playing field. But having said that, I guess my specific question is, what would happen with this project if this exemption weren't granted? Would it fold? Could you maybe run down a timeline of when it would be completed if this weren't granted?
Sure.
Go ahead.
We would, in all honesty, we'd find a way to proceed with the project. At this point, the issue is that we haven't got bids yet, and the key to this project is going to be how the bids come in. And at this point, we've got much less flexibility in the project financially than we did, you know, when we started this. And so if the bids came in adverse, we might have to start taking some things out of the project to reduce the amount of parking, you know, maybe reduce some of the square footage in the building. So we're kind of at that point because we have used all the other resources. I would note that, you know, under Job Z requirements, we could already exempt the building from the sales tax. However, we can't do that because we now need to do it as a tax increment financing project, because that brings in more capital up front that we can pay some of the capital costs. And we've put all our tools to the project. The project is going to go ahead. But at this point, it's getting a little thin, where if the bids were to come in adverse, which we won't know until probably the fall of 2007, we may have to make some adjustments. And so we'll be bidding the project with a number of alternates. I hope that answers your question.
Mayor, you had a response there?
Well, it's... Thank you, Chairman, and Representative Beard. I'm glad that you sought a clarification on the cookies so as to not think that I was trying to bribe you with the cookies. So
there's never a bribe in this committee when it comes to food or cookies. Representative Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the use of the facility. We have heard in committee that money needs to go to research, which is happening, and I very much support the University Mayo Genomics Partnership. And then we've also heard that we need private sector to come forward and commercialize. And it's just a simple question for you, Representative Liebling. Is this facility where that occurs? Is it like the University Enterprise Laboratories? Is that the type of proposal that you have put forth?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative Burns. I think there is some similarity there. I mean, that is the idea, is to help kind of jumpstart some of the private market that would feed off of the research that's being done. So it's not exactly the same. It's not an incubator situation in quite the same way, but it does have some similarity. I'm sure Mr. Newman would like to elaborate on that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Burns, you are correct. This is where we would hope to take the academic research and partner with private companies and create jobs. And it is, in a sense, in that way, like the UEL. There are companies that come in now to partner with Mayo and with the U of M on various research that is done. And in a lot of cases, I think that leads to, in some cases, companies being formed in other locations rather than Minnesota. What we'd like to do is get those same companies, when they come to Minnesota, to establish an office or establish a facility here to actually make the product. And that's what we're going to be attempting to do, and to fill this space with some of those companies so that we can grow private jobs in Minnesota.
Thank you. Representative Potts.
Thank you very much. Am I understanding that you are going to not charge your own sales tax to this project?
Chairman?
Representative Norton, Representative Potts, that is correct.
That is very beneficial. I think that helps justify it. And I would like to pile on a little bit for taxing cities and counties, especially in road construction projects, which the state is not doing. So then the county or the city comes up with the money, and then the state taxes them. It's not good for morale.
Thank you, Representative Haas. We probably have some support up there at the table for that sentiment as well. I also have Representative Ruth.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, and thank you, Representative Liebling, for bringing this forward. But I also, just going back to taxes, and as you mentioned, Representative Liebling, the Tax Committee is struggling with this, and I happen to be one of the chief authors. I think we have other bills out there, but to eliminate the sales tax from our cities. And the Tax Committee, is struggling with it, but moving forward in that direction, and hopefully, we certainly can't do it all in 1 year, but hopefully we can start moving towards it. And I think this would be a start to that. Why would we start taxing our cities on this? So if we can eliminate one piece, it seems to make sense to me. And the other piece is that, actually, just an FYI, the sales tax was added to the cities in 1992 because there was a deficit. And was supposed to come off, of course, when the deficit was over, and that just hasn't happened. So now we're saying we're in surplus, let's start moving forward. So this is a good start.
Thank you very much. Are there any other questions or any further testimony on this bill? Seeing none, I would move House File 1462 be recommended to pass as amended and re-referred to the Committee on Taxes. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Congratulations, Representative Liebling, and
City
of Rochester.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We do have another bill to hear today. And that next bill is House File 1256, Representative Mason. Working her way to the table.
I'm voting aye. How about you?
It's a two cookie vote. I don't vote cheap.
A lot more to buy you.
Obviously, I've had a few bribes in my life, too.
Yes, we're on the record, members, so...
That was for the weight content of my body, not my wallet.
It looks like Representative Mason's having a little technical difficulty, so we'll pass the cookies.
Pass the cookies.
Madam Chair, members, I'd like to move House File 1256.
Representative Mason moves House File 1256 to be recommended to pass and re-refer to the Committee on Finance. Representative Mason, would you like to present your bill and provide testimony?
Before we start, I'd like to make an oral amendment, and that is to... there is a sentence where it's, I think it's 118, where the businesses, the companies are incorporated in, only companies incorporated in Minnesota are eligible. We'd like to strike that.
Okay, could you identify the line, please?
Okay, it is 120.
120.
Going into 121. Only companies incorporated in Minnesota are eligible for grants under this section. So
okay,
I'd like
members,
to delete that.
Are we clear that we have an author's verbal amendment to delete on line 120 and 121, only companies incorporated in Minnesota are eligible for grants under this section? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, your amendment passes and you're ready to.
Thank you. Sure. This bill, is setting up a pilot program to provide initiatives and encouragement for bioscience initiatives in the state. And in the essence of time, I'm going to turn it over to Dale Wallstrom, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Bioscience Alliance of Minnesota.
Welcome, Mr. Wahlstrom. If you'd introduce yourself into the record, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dale Wahlstrom. I'm the CEO of the BioBusiness Alliance in Minnesota, and I appreciate being back here again. I'll do a very quick introduction of what we're trying to accomplish with this bill, and then I'll open it up for a question. Just to put a little bit of context, I was in here once before and testified regarding the funding for our organization. Just to refresh your memory, we are focused on trying to catalyze bioscience industries in the state of Minnesota. We did a statewide assessment. You might recall, in that statewide assessment, we identified that between 1997 and 2002, we actually had job loss within the state in the area of biobusiness, which is all-inclusive of bioscience. When we dug deeper, we found that one of the areas, or the area, actually, of job loss was occurring in small and startup companies. So one of our areas of focus is to try to recatalyze the growth of small and startup companies within the state. One more piece of background information. As we think about this and we put our strategy in place, the commercialization process involves the taking of knowledge that's created somewhere and turning it into a company or into jobs. That source of knowledge comes from fundamentally two places, either the academic sector or the private sector. And as the people from Rochester just very clearly demonstrated, there's a lot of work going on in the area of the academic sector for Mayo, U of M, the Minsky system, et cetera, to identify and capture that knowledge so it can be turned into jobs. This particular bill that we're talking about is focused on the private sector. And in some recent data that was just not too long ago, maybe 9 months ago, published by the Great Northern Alliance, there's about as much fundamental research occurring in the private sector as there is in the academic sector within the state. The problem is it's not visible to people because it is in the private sector. We don't know what's going on. It's there. But it's not. It's kept within the confines of that organization. What we're trying to do with this legislation is to try to gain access to some of that research and some of that commercialization potential out of the private sector. The reason for that is, if you look at that graph that's on the back side of the document that you just received, or the flow diagram, if you look at that graph, if you start on the far left-hand side and you begin with the basic creation of knowledge in the basic research area, which is done traditionally in the academic sector or in early stage high tech companies, but that process begins, and from the far left, when it first starts to commercialize it, it goes through a series of steps: concept assessment, first mediation, market potential establishment, and at that point, then if it passes the smell test, so to speak, and the value of a given idea is determined to be real, then an organization will take that knowledge and decide whether they're going to move forward with the company or not, or a new business or not. And that timeline, then from the far left to the far right, when research begins to the point where you're creating jobs through the formation of a company, is anywhere from 10 years in the biotech industry to 20 to 30 years. Some of this is very long. What we're trying to do, and from that center line where we have this internal review line to the far right, that time frame where job creation is occurring is somewhere between the 2 to 8 year time frame, depending on the product. If it's a drug, it could be 8 years to 10 years. If it's a new device, it's probably in the area of 2 to 3 years. So as you can tell, all that far left, the things that happen at the far left are very time consuming. What is different, though, is that the amount of money that an organization puts into developing a concept and taking it through risk mitigation to the point of having an internal review will range from $1 million to $10, $15 million to get it to that line. And then, but to take it from the internal review process where it is approved all the way to the point of the far right side of this graph ranges between $5 million to $70 million in the case of a drug, it's upwards to $1 billion to get it to the point of market release. So companies, whether they're startup companies or or larger companies or pre-existing companies, when they reach that internal review process, it's a very arduous debate that occurs, and there's a very emotional and data-driven, at the same time, process that an organization goes through to decide which concept it can take forward and move to the right and put it into a company, and which ones will stay there at that point. And so that once it reaches that internal review cycle, one of three things will happen. Either it will move forward and it will become a new business within the company, or it will be shelved and wait till next year to see if they have more money. That's the more common approach. Or number three, on occasion, it will be spun out and they will sell the technology to somebody else. The most common approach, or the most common occurrence, is that it will go back on the shelf and it will wait until next year while a company looks for more money. Because by this point in time, the risk has been mitigated and the value has been established. So the company is incented to try to take it out, but they can't take everything. So they'll wait until more money is available. What we're trying to do with this bill is to encourage a company to spin that out and allow an organization such as the one that you just heard of down in Mayo, or sorry, down in Rochester, to be able to assemble a management team and take that concept to market. Our companies are, so there's two parts to the incentive. One would be a small incentive to a company to spin it out, and the second would be to incentive to a receiving company to create the jobs here within the state. The reason for that is today when the technology is spun out, it's usually acquired by somebody. It could go to another state, it could go to another country, it could stay here, but it happens rarely because most of the time it is not spun out. So what we're trying to do is to selectively, or preferentially rather, have the jobs placed here within the state. This is a very beneficial attribute of these types of companies because at this stage where it's spun out, the market risk has been pretty much eliminated. The risk mitigation has occurred. The market potential has been established. And what the private sector investment groups such as venture capitalists are much more willing to invest their money to take it to that next level. So the point at this stage, the value of this incentive to the state is to get it out into the private sector so we can leverage private sector money to try to take it forward. Now, I'm going to stop right there, I think, and take any questions.
Are there any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I may have not followed this entirely, but what are the entities that are receiving these technologies after they're spun out?
Representative Winkler, what we're proposing in the bill is that through the deed, that we would have deed manage a process by which we would assemble a team to review. Our goal with this is to try to receive about three companies per year that could come out of the private sector and go into the commercialization process. And the reason for that gets at your question, which is very difficult to create a new company and get it going due to the fact that when you spin it out, you need a management team immediately. We have companies coming out of the university, we have companies coming out of Mayo, and now to receive these companies that are further downstream to the tune of 5 to 10 years, we're drawn on the same pool of resources, so we want to manage it very carefully. But the process would be to assemble a management team, install them into or place them into an incubator such as the one at UEL or one that was just described that's being proposed on Mayo, and begin the process of taking that company the rest of the way to market. So the receiving company would be a new company. It could also be an existing company that would just get the rights, but more than likely it would be a new company. So that's what we're trying to do, is to reestablish a bench line, so to speak, of new companies coming forward.
Thank you.
Representative Lundquist.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Walsh, from the follow-up. So the new companies that you would be creating, they would, the ownership of the companies, who would have the equity? I can understand assembling management teams and all the rest of that stuff, but who takes the risk at that point, and who is the, who's the equity owner of the company?
It would be the funders. It would be, we have to, there's a lot of details left to put together around this, assuming that this is this law is passed, but it would be a traditional owner, funder, owner mechanism. That's spent out in order to meet the federal laws. The company that's spinning it out has to relinquish control, so they can't control it anymore. That's the risk that they have, is that if they let it go, they can create a competitor. There's a lot of risk associated with a company who's spinning it out. That's where we would want to incent them a little bit. But the ownership would reside with where the funding, the ultimate funding came, whether it be an angel investor or a VC or whoever. It would be, that would be the source of ownership.
Can I add on, kind of to your point?
You're the chair.
Well, I know, but I'm trying to be kind and considerate because my mother told me I was supposed to. Does the state ever get its money back?
The state would get its money back through the taxes, ultimately.
Did you have a follow-up?
I do.
Can I, Representative Mahoney?
Yep.
May I clarify a little bit? When we started, if you look at that graph again that's on there, why we're so excited about the possibility of this is that when you kick out a company at that interim review process and you spin it out, day one, you begin to create jobs as compared to the longer-term process where it could be decades or certainly years from the time you initiate a new research program until you begin to create jobs of magnitude. But because of risk mitigation, the mediation has taken place, the market potential has been established, the very first day that this company is signs on the dotted line with gaining access to the intellectual property, they begin to hire. And they hire a management team first, and then they begin to bring on engineers or chemists, whoever those level of whatever their industry needs. And then within a matter of a few years, these companies have potential to be in hundreds of employees.
Maybe this is just sort of legal, infecting my brain here, but so I hope I'm not disparaging my question too much by describing it that way, but so would Deed become, in a sense, the owner of the intellectual property once it was spun out until such time as a venture comes in to fund it and you transfer it to the
That would not be our vision today. The vision today would be that we would assemble, under the leadership of Deed, we would assemble a group of private sector people that would take a look at ideas that come forward. So if you have a, let's say we have 10 ideas that come forward for potential participation in this program, we would try to select a maximum of 5 per year, but more probably around 3 per year they would bring forward. And once it's selected, then the incentive process would kick in for the receiving company. And every job they hired, as an example, they would receive some level of incentive. But the ownership would not be dissimilar. We wouldn't change the ownership process to the state becoming involved in that. It would be a matter of helping to select which companies would go into this process that we're putting in place.
So is that it? Mr. Chair, just a final. So basically, the state's role would be as a broker and kind of sweetener of these transactions.
Exactly. That's okay. Exactly right. Sure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Burns?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have kind of a question that will follow up on some that Representative Winkler had just asked. As I see it, this is a program which provides state dollars in the form of grants to private entities, and the state steps in and helps pick the most promising private entities. I think some people philosophically have a concern about, you know, the state just giving money to a business. But we're also talking about biosciences,
mm-hmm.
and we've heard a lot about the promise
mm-hmm.
To our economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Wallstrom, could you explain what other states are doing, and if other states have similar programs where they actually provide public dollars to private entities to spur economic growth.
There are a lot of
Mr. Walston.
Representative Burns, yes, there are a lot of different scenarios out there. There's a lot of grants being given for construction. I think you're well aware of the, I think it's come to the committee already, the incentives that are Wisconsin put in place, for the tax incentives. I honestly couldn't sit here and give you all the different scenarios that are out there. But to try to spur various growth, there are many kinds of tax relief incentives, cash, support mechanisms to companies starting up, rental deferment or rental subsidy programs for rental equipment, because many of these companies have very expensive pieces of equipment that they have to, they can't afford to buy, so they'll lease them. There are many different forms. What is different about this one, and we are unaware of anybody else at this stage doing this, that we're not targeting things that are on the far left-hand side of this chart, which most of those are. We're targeting concepts or ideas or businesses that have been predetermined to be of value and given a cash award, a cash grant to defer somewhat. And a very important point of this is that it's a very small deferment. We do not want to give a lot of money out to this. We're talking hundreds of thousands to maybe a million or so. Per situation. And the reason for that is if we know there's a lot of these, we know that about 70% of the good ideas do not make it into commercialization. That's a well-established fact. So all we're trying to do is pick a few very good ones that have potential for nearly immediate job creation so we can begin to to turn around the job loss that we have experienced in this state in the area of biobusiness in the last 10 years or so. We're unaware of anybody else doing this particular thing. We're highly confident that the others will copy it if we go, but we're unaware of that.
Do you have a follow-up?
I do, a short one. Is it, probably a yes or no answer is fine. Is it fair to say that many other states who want to be competitive environments for bioscience are making this same type of investment, where they're investing public dollars to emerging companies? For Minnesota to stay competitive with other states, this is a pretty promising avenue.
It's an emphatic yes. There's a lot of money being put in by other states and other countries to catalyze these industries. A lot.
That would be a yes or no answer. I have a question for you, and it's actually one that we had a little conversation. I don't know if you did any more research on it, but I've been told that the state tried something similar to this 20 or 25 or 30 years ago. Did you do any more research on that, Mr. Walston?
Well, the information I have of what was tried was more along the lines of the, Mr. Chair, more along the lines of the orphan technology category, which is, this is not orphan technology. We're trying to stay away from the orphan technology categorization, because orphan technology, by definition, is technology that is not going to be commercialized.
Okay.
It's not promising technology, but it has specific application in a specific area.
And this particular bill does not go down that same road?
Not at all.
Okay, thank you. Representative Bunn?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And, Chair, actually, you may be the first person to answer this. My question just was, we've had variety of proposals, including some previous ones that linked to deed, and I think in particular one of your bills was to establish further staff support in deed to do kind of marketing outreach support to small medium-sized businesses in the biosciences type area. Could you explain what link there is, if any, between that initiative and this initiative? They're both being based in deed. It seems like there's a connection there. Are they going to be in the same general setup together to some extent? And this is the appropriation part to give out the money, whereas the others kind of get the staff in place to do some of this. Or any comments on that from you or testifiers?
Representative Bunn, there should not be, as as I have the conversations I've had with Dean, conversations I've had with people in the department, there shouldn't really be any linkage between a bill like this and, I'll call it, I can't remember the House file off the top of my head, but, you know, the procurement, and somebody just gave it to me, it would be House File 452. Kind of good to have crack staff around here. And there shouldn't be any real linkage between these particular two other than, you know, if this technology spin-out is something that the federal government has a contract they're looking for, then, yeah, it would be a natural fit. But I wouldn't see that. DEED is a kind of a catch-all department that does economic development from, I think they've actually done some stuff with pig farms all the way up to some of your highest technology kind of incentives and variety of other things. So they do the whole gamut.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I forgot the federal contracting focus of that piece. That you have. I understand now. Thank you.
Any other questions? Any other questions? Representative Thiessen.
Is the $5 million going off for grants? Is DEED going to swallow the cost of this thing?
You mean the administrative costs?
Yeah.
Well, that would be a good question. Either Representative Mason or Dr. Walston, would you care to answer? Do you have a percentage in here for administration, or is DEED decided they could do this within their own budget at the current time?
Okay. We have not talked about that level of detail, but the administrative costs, I can imagine the administrative costs are going to be very much. We would assume that our assumption would be that would be in this amount that we're asking for.
Well, Representative Thiessen, if I could carry forward on that.
Certainly.
My question would be, I think you said you had a 12-member panel to kind of go over this. Would their compensation be anything more than a normal board or advisory council? I think that's under a section. Representative Burns has this on the top of his head. It's something in 15. Anything other than what that is, and that's generally pretty, it's like $25 or $50 for a meeting. It covers, I won't say the word per diem, but it covers meals and travel. Is that what you kind of envision?
Yeah, in fact, in our envisioning, we had not even considered paying anybody to do this because those who would be participating would be, there would be a value in them participating. So it may be that there are some costs like that would have to be included, but it would be pretty minor.
And I'm sorry, I wasn't here for the initial motion. Is this going to GovOps?
To finance.
To finance.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. It probably does have to go to government to GovOps if it's creating a board.
Well, it's not clear. The evaluation team, I'm not sure what the... Sorry, Mr. Chair.
No, that's...
I'm not sure what the... where that falls within the... that.
You know what? We could call on staff to another opinion.
Mr. Chair, I was just going to say that the way the draft currently stands...
You should pull your mic forward.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm sorry. The way the draft is currently written, the money is strictly for the grant, so there is no set-aside for department administrative costs, and there is no reference to Chapter 15. So the assumption is that this is an evaluation, an uncompensated evaluation, grant evaluation team. So if you want to make this a more formal, compensated board, something needs to be added to this.
Representative Mason, you might want to think about that. And because it is not a very formal one, I think it can go directly to finance. So, seeing no other questions, you're being talkative today, but let's go for it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry I had to step out with some school superintendents, but because I wanted to speak directly to this particular issue. We've had a list of bills come through here. DEED seems to be one of our favorite targets. And the one I presented yesterday actually did have a line item for DEED to cover some of the administrative expenses. And just thinking off the top of my head, which is always really dangerous when it's on the tape and in a partisan environment. I'm wondering if...
other than that,
it's okay.
Of course, once in a while we see him on TV.
I bet you're worried about
that. So, I'm just wondering if maybe as some of these bills travel along, if they can't be combined, because they were kind of aiming at the same general target, whether we're dealing with nanotechnology or the biosciences initiative or things like that. It's all emerging technologies and high-tech stuff that we're after. And I'm wondering if a portion of this wheel hasn't already been created in our zeal for drafting legislation and talking about things. We may all be throwing our lot in the same direction without actually recognizing there may be somebody there already trying to accomplish what we're accomplishing, and maybe we just expand their scope a little bit, and some of my what my bill is proposing may help fund it, or maybe it's already funded. This will come out in our process as we kind of prioritize bills and lay them all side by side. We may see a tremendous amount of overlap.
And I need to address that when we're done with this bill, but yes, there might be some of that. Seeing no other questions, who moved this bill?
I did, and if you would like, I would... Oh, Representative Mason did. You're right. I was chairing. I was not moving.
Okay, hold on a moment. Representative Mason, did you have any final comments?
No. I will just move that House File 1256 be recommended to pass and referred to finance.
As amended?
Support.
Along with the cookies, or do we get to keep them?
You can keep them as long as you can eat them.
we can always eat cookies. Representative Mason, this is a... I'm glad you brought this bill forward. Hopefully we can pass this along, and I'll just leave it at that. All those in favor of the bill as moved and amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Same sign. Seeing none, you passed your first bill, your bill out of this committee. Thank you, Representative Mason.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Before, and that should end the agenda for today, I've had a spreadsheet put together with all the bills, and I will get that to the committee members. I'm going to try, I don't know what day, and hopefully next week sometime, but I have to talk to staff here. We've been trying to get some time for me to meet with the committee members. Have nothing... Our schedules are very, very full. So we may at some point make sure that it's a short meeting, and then we will recess to the call of the chair, and I will go meet with the Republican caucus, and then come back and we'll meet with the Democratic caucus, and then if there's any decisions that people want to have a more... private meeting, we certainly can do that too. But I'm getting to that particular point as my staff goes, we can get meetings with people. I need to be a more powerful chair. After finishing that, hopefully that spreadsheet will be to you this week or first part of next week at the latest. Any other business before the committee? Stands adjourned.